As I read, I have a couple of slides for you to see. The heavens are telling of the glory of God. And their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out throughout all the earth. Their utterance to the ends of the world. In them he has placed a tent for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of its chamber. It rejoices as a strong man runs his course. Its rising is from one end of the heavens, and its circuit to the other end of them. And there is nothing, nothing hidden from its heat. Good thing for the sun, huh? Well, it was beautiful this morning, as it has been most mornings. My daughter sent me a sunrise picture early this week from her place, and I told her, rejoice in that, delight in that. It is a snapshot of God's presence, of his love. Every waking moment, we are reminded of God's desire to communicate. Every waking moment, we are reminded of God's desire to communicate. I want to share with you today how God communicates in creation, how God communicates in the world and worlds that he has made. I read this week, I shared it with Melody. To the scientist's best estimate, there are 2 sextillion stars known in the universe. To give you a perspective, that's the number 2 with 23 zeros after it. That's just what they know. Or they think they know. The heavens are declaring the glory of God. Scripture testifies that God's creation is a tool in his communication with humanity. If you're taking notes, just jot these other places down. Psalm 8, Psalm 93, Psalm 104, Acts 17. We're going to look today at Psalm 19, the first 6 verses. We're also going to look at Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. Understand, Scripture is filled with the reality that God wishes to communicate. He is testifying through his creation. It is a tool to connect himself with humanity. So let's look first of all at the sound of creation. Creation is alive and it is talkative. Creation is alive and it is communicating all the time. Augustine heard the message in the 4th century, the 300s. Let me quote from him. But what is my God? I put my question to the earth. It answered, I'm not God. And all the things on earth declared the same. I asked the sea and the chasms of the deep and the living things that creep in them. But they answered, we're not your God. Seek what is above us. I spoke to the winds that blow and the whole air and all that lives in it replied, I am not God. I asked the sky, the sun, the moon, the stars, but they told me, neither are we the God whom you seek. I spoke to all these things that are about me, all that can be admitted by the door of the senses, and I said, since these are not my God, tell me about him. Tell me something of my God. Clear and loud they answered, God is he who made us. God's fingerprints are everywhere in the things that he has made. The sound of creation, as we look at it, is a perpetual voice. It says, day to day they pour forth speech. Night to night they reveal knowledge. It covers the scope, the full scope of human existence, comprising each 24-hour period. There is nonstop communication from God's creation. David used many terms to describe this process of communication. He said, the heavens are telling of the glory of God. Secondly, he says, the expanse is declaring the work of his hands. The way David wrote that, he means it's nonstop. It is a continuous telling, a ubiquitous and always there declaration. There isn't a time when God is not saying something about himself through what he has made. Then it says, day to day pours forth speech. The term was used of a spring that continually gushed out and bubbled water. What comes to mind is when you go to Yellowstone and you see the water just bleh, 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 right? It's continuous all day, all night. There isn't a time when the water isn't doing that. And that's what David is saying. Every day, God is bubbling out speech through the things that he has made. But it's interesting that the sound of creation is beyond words. There's a very fascinating paradox that David writes here. On the one hand, he says, there is no speech, verse 3, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Creation's voice, in this sense, is inaudible. They are silent, speechless witnesses. Or we could say God's communication is beyond words. When you look at those pictures, and those are some of the more recent ones from the James telescope that's way beyond out there, we get kind of fascinated by it. There isn't a word to describe how awesome that looks, right? It's like, wow, that's really amazing. The one I showed you with what appeared to be stars are actually galaxies. All of those dots you saw were galaxies. They weren't stars. So you imagine the millions and trillions of galaxies that God has put together, and yet their voice is a silent voice. It is a quiet voice. On the other hand, he says, their line, their words have gone out through all the earth, the utterances to the ends of the earth. And so God's voice is heard. It's a speech. It's words that are given. It is an actual voice. So creation speaks loud, audibly, intelligibly. Someone once said, to those who are inclined to listen, revelation of God's communication comes without regard for linguistic or geographic barriers. For those who are inclined to listen. See, that's what we've been talking about the last several weeks, is hearing God's voice. And we're in need of posturing ourselves to listen. Those who are inclined to listen, the revelation of God's communication comes. So, here's the paradox. Without speech or voice, they have sound. Without speech or voice, they have sound. I was actually reflecting on that some this morning, and that's true for us. Do you know that the words of our mouth, the sounds that we make, are only 10% of our communication? 90% is non-sound. It's all the non-verbals that you're communicating. And I'll tell you, you can not say a word and say everything. It's the truth. What you're feeling on a particular day, you don't have to say a word. It kind of like the spring, right? It gushes out. People are able to read. They go, is everything all right? Is something up? You haven't even said a word. But you've spoken volumes. You see, I believe that's what the universe is doing. That's what God's creation is doing. While the voice that they communicate may not be audible, it's still heard. It's recognized for what God is doing. And the sound of this voice is universal. He says it has gone throughout all the earth. There is no place on earth, and this is God's design. Earth is the place where he put humanity. There isn't life in any other place, just so you know. There's life here. Christ came here to this earth, terra firma. This is where he is at. And so David is saying there isn't a spot on the planet that you cannot not see what God is doing. That you cannot not hear God's voice. All around the planet. And then he describes this circuit, right? The sun that rises in the east, sets in the west. The heat intensifies throughout the day. It's going to intensify a couple days this week. I saw 96 on the forecast, right? So it's going to warm up, and then it cools down. And this circuit goes round and round. And he says two times that it goes to the end of the heavens, the circuit to the other end of them. And I believe David has two things in mind when he says that. First, he is talking about the ends of the earth, right? David didn't really have a scope for what the planet Earth looked like. He just understood his little portion of this globe. And so he's talking about this endless circuit that he knows. Sun comes up, sun goes down. It's night when the sun goes down. It's day when the sun comes up. And so it circulates throughout every quadrant of our world. But I also believe he has in mind the end of one's life. You see, it's perpetual as long as we're here. And then when we're gone, guess what? It's still here. It's perpetual. It is universal. It has gone out. It is far-reaching. And I believe that the sound of the creation is clear. Keep your fingers in Psalm 19 and come back to the New Testament in Romans chapter 1, if you would. Paul is writing to the Roman church and he says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, unrighteousness of humanity, who suppresses the truth and unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is what? Evident within them. For God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what he has made, so that everyone is without excuse." It is clear. Paul says it is clearly seen. It is a picture of sensory perception that's not clouded, it's not invisible. It is clearly, clearly seen. It is both physical sight, he says, and it is inner recognition. This is a fascinating literary device. It's called an oxymoron. Okay, let me tell you what an oxymoron is. It's a rhetorical effect achieved by asserting something that is apparently contradictory. You're making assertion by something that looks contradictory. God in his essence is a hidden God. He is invisible. We know that. He is spirit. You cannot see him. Yet many things about him can be seen through creation. Now, having said that, I am not saying that everything there is to know about God you find in creation. That is impossible. God is eternal. God is limitless. There isn't any possible way that all of God can be seen in creation. Nor am I saying that everything there is to know about God is there. Otherwise, we would not have the sun. Jesus said, "I reveal," Matthew chapter 11, "I reveal the Father to you. All that I'm doing, I'm showing you the Father." Just even this little snapshot, he wasn't referring to everything there is to know about the Father. But what God has made known about himself is clearly seen. It is evident. God's voice is clearly recognizable throughout the created universe. From the galaxies far, far away to even the smallest microscopic thing, God's fingerprints are all over it. What is the message? What is the message that God is declaring about himself? Well, back to Romans chapter 1. we recognize that he is, through the creation of the world, defining his invisible attributes, his character, the uniqueness of who God is. The reality is you have to be blind or choose to be blind to the reality of God's character, nature, truth, by what he has made. What do we see about his invisible attributes? First of all, his eternal power. His eternal power. You know, I reference for you, a molecule. How does a nucleus of a molecule stay together? There's no logical reason for it. It should explode, right? But the power that is there. We look at the universe, the sun, for goodness sakes. The sun, the power, the immense power of the sun. You know, it isn't a it's a mistake, but it isn't out of line that humanity would get twisted and worship the sun, right? That's what the ancient Egyptians did, Amun and Ra. They worshiped the sun because they thought in it was this power, this uncontained power. And God is saying, I made that. And so it's a sign, a picture of my eternal power. I read a few weeks ago, they've discovered a star that is, if you were to put it in our solar system where the sun is, it would go all the way past Venus, and it would basically melt Jupiter. Imagine the size of this thing. And it's hot. And God is declaring, I am power, inherent within myself. I am declaring to you by the things that I have made my power. I am also declaring to you that I am sovereign, that I rule over all of that, that I am majestic. And we also see in Romans chapter 1, his divine nature. The heavens are telling what? The glory of God. Ancient Old Testament word kabod, glory of God. It means something that is weighty, something that is heavy, something that has magnitude to it, something that is noteworthy or of importance, something that has reputation behind it. It is a greatness. The word in the New Old Testament, it is a greatness that belongs only to God. So as David is writing, he's saying, the heavens are declaring that you are unique in the universe, that there is no one like you in the universe, that you are a God of majesty and power and glory and splendor. When I look up, and I can only imagine in my mind's eye what David saw in the night sky. Man, I bet it was spectacular. They're talking about no light. There was no light. There was no pollution. There was no dust. There was nothing. So when David went out on the steps of his palace and he looked up, man, I heard some of you got to see the Northern Lights this week. That's one of the most spectacular things to me. I think he saw some of that, even as far south as Israel. What are they declaring? God is a God of majesty, a God of splendor, a God of glory, God of strength, who is sovereign. This greatness belongs to him and him alone. Creation gives voice to this. And there is, again, those who are listening can hear this, but that God is in control. God is in control. Colossians chapter 1 tells us that the universe keeps doing the way that's always been doing because Christ gives it order. Christ gives it this rhythmic design. He speaks into it continually, and the universe continues to unfold as God designed it. He keeps it in place. He's in control. He is a God of compassion and love. When you look at things that are beyond description, some of the slides that I showed you are only a small picture of what you, if you did a search, we could say, you know what, God is so big and I am so small. In fact, David wrote that in one of his Psalms. What is mankind that you think of him? You're great in the universe. And I look at this scrawny little guy, me, and I go, why us? And then he said, you created us a little lower than the angels and crowned him with glory and splendor. David is recognizing that that's what God did. His fingerprints all over you. And it's communicating that he's a God of compassion. He's a God of love, a God of mercy. And that he is in the business of taking care of you. I want you to believe that. That God is in the business of taking care of you. If he can keep the universe working like it needs to work by its design, then what he needs to do with you really is smaller by comparison. And yet, it's such an encouragement. It's such an affirmation that our God would want to take care of the finest details of my life. We get that picture through the things that he has made. So I want to bring this bit to a close by talking about the invitation of creation. Creation is inviting us. When we look out, and it doesn't have to be the grand universe that we get snippets of, pieces of. It could be as simple as yesterday I was taking a walk back from the boys at the park, and two butterflies were chasing each other. And it was just a great, great pause for me. It doesn't happen at my house because the cats catch the the butterflies, wretched cats. But walking through the park and seeing this, like, that's God's design. There's something very, about that. It's inviting us. What is creation inviting us? These inanimate objects are doing what? Continually praising God. The heavens are telling, they're declaring, they're pouring forth. All the time, they're praising their Creator. Praise, the spontaneous overflow of a response that leaves us with a positive impression. I don't want you to turn here, but I want you to listen. If you're taking notes, I'm reading from Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all stars of light. Praise him, highest heavens, and the waters that are above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He has established them forever and ever. He has made a decree that will not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, sea monsters in all deeps. Fire and hail, fire is lightning. Lightning and hail and snow and clouds, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and cattle, creeping things, fouled wings, winged fowl, kings of the earth and all the peoples, princes and all the judges of the earth, both young men and virgins, old ones and children. Creation is inviting us to do what they've been doing all along. And that's to praise the Lord, to praise him. One author, McHugh, said, the heavens and the earth, the seas, are devoted and faithful preachers because all they do is sing the praises of the one who created them. God spoke creation into existence, and now creation speaks of his existence. That's awesome. It's an invitation. Come, worship him, praise him. In the third century, there was a Christian leader by the name of Bernard of Clairvaux. He taught, you will find something more in woods than in books. Trees and stones will teach you that which you could never learn from the masters. What are they teaching you? The glory and the majesty of God. The praise and the honor that they continually, perpetually cry out. The great poet Elizabeth Barrett Browning wrote in her poem, "Earth's crammed with heaven, and every common bush afire with God. But only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest sit around and pluck blackberries." Those who see are impressed. They take off their shoes. Earth is crammed with heaven, she says. But those who have no idea what is going on pluck blackberries. They just eat what's before them. I want to invite you to worship. Creation invites us to listen to all that God is saying and to respond in praise. So, what is appropriate? What role of creation should there be in the believer's life? What can I learn about God through the things that He has made? What can I learn about praise through creation? How does this natural world help me to know His voice? I want to invite you to this. We talked about it last week, but solitude and silence go hand in hand with God's natural world. There's something really spectacular that happens at our house every morning at sunrise. The birds are singing. The sky is just starting to turn light. The fountain is bubbling. It's the pouring forth idea. And in that solitude and silence, God is there. Worship Him. How, I may ask, can you be a better listener? Father, I thank You that through Your Son, Jesus Christ, You've created all things. By Your will, they were created, and they are sustained, and they have their being. It is because of You and You alone that we know this, that we experience this. May we pause in our busy days, our hectic lives, our rushing to and fro, to inhale and exhale and listen to the praise of Your creation. And then join in. To You be the glory and the honor alone. Amen.